New documents from the Washington Post and other outlets show President Trump's personal lawyer Rudy Giuliani was in talks to get on the payroll of Ukraine's top prosecutor for at least $200,000. That's at the same time Giuliani was working with the prosecutor to dig up dirt on former Vice President Joe Biden on behalf of his other client, President Trump. Giuliani says no contract was finalized and that he was never paid by the Ukrainians. Around the same time Giuliani was in those talks, though, he had two phone calls with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, according to newly released State Department documents. Pompeo has been drawn further into the House impeachment inquiry, including last week when one witness testified Pompeo was aware of a pressure campaign on the Ukrainians to announce political investigations President Trump wanted. We're going to profile Pompeo now with NPR diplomatic correspondent Michelle Kellerman. Michelle, happy Thanksgiving and welcome.
Hi there, Jeremy.
Well, let's just briefly go back to the beginning. Pompeo grew up in Orange County, California. He went to West Point. Pick up the story for us from there.
Well, he often talks about how at West Point it was where he joined a Bible study group. He often talks about his Christian beliefs, and he says he has a Bible open always on his desk, even here at the State Department. His military service was in Germany. Pompeo was a tank commander there, and this was during the Cold War. After that, Pompeo came back, went to Harvard Law School. He did not spend much time as a lawyer. Instead, he moved to Kansas to run a company with some of his West Point friends, including Ulrich Breckbull, who's Pompeo's counselor here at the State Department. Breckbull was also had been called to testify in this impeachment inquiry, but refused.
Well, and the company that he ran in Kansas and then a company that he was part of later both got help from the Koch Industries, as in the Koch brothers of Kansas. How did Pompeo get into politics?
Well, he also had support from the Koch brothers for his run for Congress. He came to power on this anti-Obama Tea Party wave, running a pretty nasty race in 2010 against an Indian American. And at one point, Pompeo had to apologize for a racist tweet put out by his campaign on that.
And as a member of Congress, we remember that he was part of the Benghazi hearings looking into the killing of a U.S. ambassador and three other Americans in Benghazi, Libya. He was one of the Republicans driving that inquiry. Here he is in a public hearing with Hillary Clinton in 2016.
Why don't you fire someone? In Kansas, Madam Secretary, I get asked constantly, why has no one been held accountable? How come not a single person lost a single paycheck connected to the fact that we had the first ambassador killed since 1979?
What role did Pompeo play in those hearings on Benghazi?
Well, he was a pretty central figure, as you can see, very outspoken and strong. He also really pushed hard for the Obama administration to cooperate with the committee, demanding documents and testimony. That's why a lot of people now are pointing out it's ironic that he now complains that House Democrats haven't allowed, for instance, State Department lawyers into the impeachment hearing depositions. Well, some of the same things were happening back then.
He went from Congress to the CIA. He became President Trump's pick for CIA director. How did that happen?
It was actually sort of surprising. I mean, he of course, made a name for himself in those Benghazi hearings, in his opposition to the Iran nuclear deal. But Pompeo had actually supported Marco Rubio during the primaries, and he even offered a pretty stinging rebuke of Trump, warning that Trump could become an authoritarian president who ignored our Constitution. But, you know, since he was tapped and joined this administration, Pompeo has proven to be one of the most loyal figures, never showing any signs of daylight with the president.
Well, and as CIA director, he was at the heart of a wedge that grew between President Trump and the U.S. intelligence community. The consensus in the intelligence community was that Russia interfered in the 2016 election. President Trump has disputed that. It says he has no reason not to trust Russian President Putin. Where did Pompeo come down on Russian interference?
Pompeo said that he accepted the findings of the intelligence community. But again, he never really highlighted that. He made that clear and moved on.
And he moved on from the CIA to the State Department when President Trump dismissed his former Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, and put Pompeo in that role. Pompeo was sworn in May of 2018. Michelle, what kind of Secretary of State has Pompeo been?
when he first came into office, you know, the State Department was welcomed him with open arms because, you know, the State Department had been gutted during the Tillerson era. A lot of people left, and Pompeo quickly turned that around and worked on rebuilding the department itself. And there was also the sense that, you know, unlike Tillerson, Mike Pompeo understood how to work with President Trump and had close relations with President Trump. And that meant that the State Department was kind of back in the game.
And then, of course, we get to where we are now with this Ukraine controversy. And when the whistleblower complaint first became public in September, Pompeo denied any knowledge. Here he is on ABC.
And I want to turn to this whistleblower complaint, Mr. Secretary. The complaint involving the president and a phone call with a foreign leader to the director of National Intelligence Inspector General. What do you know about those conversations?
So you just gave me a report about a IC whistleblower complaint, none of which I've seen.
None of which I've seen, says Pompeo to Martha Raddatz there. But then a month later in October, he admitted that he was actually listening in on the now famous July 25th phone call.
As for was I on the phone call, I was on the phone call. The phone call was in the context of now, I guess I've been the Secretary of State for coming on a year and a half.
What do you make of that?
Well, what he means by when he listened to the phone call, that was the phone call when President Trump asked the new Ukrainian president for a favor to investigate the Bidens and to look into CrowdStrike, this conspiracy theory that kind of shifts the blame from Russia to Ukraine in that 2016 election meddling. It was also the call where it came up that Marie Yovanovitch was bad news. She was the ambassador to Ukraine who was ousted. The president said she was going to go through some things. Pompeo has not publicly come out and defended her.
Yeah, it's interesting. He hasn't come out and defended any of the career Foreign Service officers who've been testifying in the impeachment inquiry and have taken some heat from the White House.
Yeah, I mean, you know, remember Yovanovitch was facing a smear campaign led by Trump's private lawyer, Rudy Giuliani. Giuliani was saying things that the State Department knew were false about her. And that was one of the things that came up repeatedly in this, that Pompeo did not push back and say, look, that this was wrong, what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And we heard from testimony from the former National Security Council official Fiona Hill that this is dangerous territory to let all these false allegations stand. Hill herself has received death threats, and a lot of these people are facing all kinds of accusations of being deep staters or, right, you know, doing nefarious things. And as Hill points out, this assault on truth really affects all of us.
Well, let's listen to another appearance that Mike Pompeo made on Fox News at the end of October. Here he is with Fox's Martha McCallum.
Don't forget, Martha, this is the administration that provided defensive weapon systems to Ukraine. The previous administration, I couldn't tell you why. I couldn't answer if it's because of Hunter Biden that Barack Obama and Vice President Biden didn't give defensive weapon systems to Ukraine. They'll have to answer for that. Maybe I just don't have the full story.
He's alluding there to theories about Hunter Biden that are not supported by evidence. What does it tell you about Pompeo's mindset with respect to the impeachment inquiry that this is the kind of thing that he's bringing up?
Well, for one, he's not defending the president in terms of the actual things that are happening here. It was kind of shocking to hear him make these suggestions when, of course, he could have, if he really wanted to know whether Hunter Biden or Joe Biden were up to something nefarious, he could have asked people who worked in the Obama administration at the time because they work in his State Department. But he hasn't been pushing back on the basic facts that have been laid out in the testimony. He's been given several chances to distance himself from what Trump's private lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, was saying, and Secretary Pompeo has not done that.
He also hasn't provided Congress with a lot of the documents they've been asking for.
Right. I mean, he instructed all of his employees not to testify. They've done so under subpoena. And he's not provided a lot of the documents that they want to read.
Do you think that there's a chance that Pompeo will testify in the inquiry?
Well, I think given that he hasn't offered cooperation to the committees, that I would not expect him to testify.
Finally, Michelle, as we're talking about Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, there are questions about whether he is about to go try and run for office in Kansas. What do we know about his political ambitions?
Right. Well, there's this open seat in Kansas. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell wants Pompeo to run for that seat. He's been several times to Kansas as Secretary of State, so raising all kinds of speculation that he'll do it. There was even a recent report that he told several people he plans to. A State Department official denies that and says that he's still focused on serving as this president's Secretary of State. But we'll see what happens. He doesn't have to join that race until later next year.
That is NPR diplomatic correspondent Michelle Kellerman in Washington. Michelle, thank you.
Thank you.